thanks so much for joining us on the Sales and Sports Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. Started the year strong, doing Dry January at the moment, which has been good. I feel really good.
Love it. I can tell I'm speaking to a salesperson already when they say, thanks for asking. Great stuff. Well, we're going to go into the crossovers between sales and sports, but to kick it off, would love to hear a bit of an introduction to yourself. Who is Roman Thompson? And pretend, you know, go into your transition from education, university, maybe even school, what you studied and how you got into tech sales and the work you're doing today at Databricks.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Windsor, lovely part of the world. Nice big great park to do long walks in. Moved to London basically as soon as I possibly could. I'd spent a bunch of time in my weekends when I was growing up coming into London and knew that was where I wanted to go. From there, studied at London School of Economics, which was okay. I'm not sure I enjoyed the studying part. I enjoyed playing a bit of rugby there and the socials that come with it. Started becoming interested in the tech industry there, though, for sure. I was living in Whitechapel for most of the time I was studying. And, you know, it's not that far from Old Street and Shoreditch and a lot of the places where you find tech companies in London. I actually joined a running club, I think. It's called Tech Runners. That was do runs coming out of the Google campus. Even though I was a student, I wasn't working tech. I just started to find it a bit interesting, and you know, from there, that was the obvious decision. From there, after university, I'd actually got sick of London. I moved back to Windsor for a bit and joined Gartner, which I'm sure many of your listeners will know is an IT research and advisory company. I was working in the Gartner for Technical Professionals business unit. I'm not going to bore you with what that means, but it did give me a real insight into all different areas of technology and IT. And while I was there, got very, very interested in data and AI. Was just spending all the time after work reading this data and AI research, like a proper nerd. And from there, knew I wanted to get into the market, joined a company called Databricks, which at the time was fairly small, just finished its Series D, I think, about 250 people globally. And I've been there ever since.
Amazing. So how did you make that transition into sales as an SDR? Were you doing a sort of sales role at Gartner? And, you know, how did you come across the BDR, SDR, you know, route and career path? Because I think even myself, after studying, you know, 4 years of university at a business at university, I had no idea what an SDR or BDR was. So how did you come across that career path? Were you always sort of sales curious, or was it, you know, I want to get into the tech industry, let me find a great company and then join an entry level role?
I think I knew I wanted to do something customer facing within technology, but when I left university, I wasn't sure what that would be. At Gartner, the role is more customer success, I would say. Okay. There's a little bit of sort of sales aspects to it, where we're going on new business meetings sometimes, or trying to do upsells of the specific product that we were selling. But most of it was trying to get them to use the platform. But of course, you know, in that you're working with salespeople. I enjoyed working with them. I got some insights into what that was like. From there, you know, having a year's experience, that's when you've got time to actually work out what's what, I think, in the professional world. So knew I wanted to get into data and AI, knew I needed to start as an entry level role in sales, and the SDR role at Databricks came up right at the right time.
Perfect. I appreciate that. And I guess, you know, talk me through the interview process and the onboarding process as an SDR at Databricks, because lots of the listeners might be sales curious or tech curious looking at their first SDR interview. So would love you to, you know, talk through that process from applying to, you know, becoming a seasoned SDR at Databricks.
Absolutely. Definitely improved a lot since I applied. I'm not sure there was one when I applied, but right now I think we've got it down to a pretty precise science. Once you apply, you'll typically speak with a recruiter or a hiring manager first to do an initial screening call. From there, we typically have a an exercise where we either do a prospecting exercise where writing a mock email basically, or more likely we'll do a cold calling exercise. Both of the times are giving you a little bit of guidance, but we're not expecting people to know everything about how to do those things up front. So if you're listening and feeling daunted by that, don't. It's worth giving it a shot. And then after that, we do a final interview, bring in a couple of people that won't have met yet in the interview process, senior BDR, a sales director that they would potentially be supporting. And that is it. In terms of the onboarding process, something that we take really seriously. We have an enablement team that helps, but I expect the managers as well to have a real active role in helping people develop their skills over the first month and beyond. We'll typically start with market and orientation type of stuff. What is big data? What is the cloud? What is the sort of history of the data space and how did Databricks emerge as a value proposition within that? Who do we speak to? What's our audience? That sort of thing. At some point, we'll send you to our new hire Brixter Summit for the sales development role. So you get to go out to our headquarters, spend time with all the other new SDRs and BDRs from around the world. Our headquarters in San Francisco, which is typically pretty good fun. Once you get back, we'll do a little bit of product stuff, helping you understand the ins and outs of the products. It's a fairly technical sell, so we need to help people get a little bit of understanding, although we're not expecting you to go too deep. There are field engineers we'll work with in the sales cycle that would fulfill that purpose. Also talk about how to position it in different situations. How do I sell Databricks to a bank? How do I sell Databricks to a supermarket? There are different use cases and customer references that we'd want to talk about in those situations, and we typically like to give people an idea before they hit the phones of what those are. From there, it gets pretty practical. Start working leads. We'll be doing pitch practice fairly often at this stage. We'll be starting some mock calls, start doing some real calls. Really learning the process and the best practice of being a BDR at Databricks. And throughout all of this process, there's other things that you're getting involved with. There's self-paced learning, and there's also a mentor that you'll be assigned basically on your first week, a more senior member of staff in the sales development team.
Epic. I think that's one of the, perks of working in tech and tech sales, is being able to travel and go to San Francisco, for example, to onboard. So I guess the listeners there, and that's pretty exciting to hear. Tell me about the traits you're looking for when you're interviewing, SDRs and BDRs. What are you typically looking for, and what are any red flags that you come across?
I think the most important one, for me is coachability. It's an entry level role typically, especially at the SDR level. BDRs, we might be looking for sort of 1 or 2 years of professional experience, although not necessarily as a BDR or SDR somewhere else. So the most important one has to be coachability, because there's lots of things to teach you and we need you to be open to that. And naturally, the flags is if we see that you can't give us examples of how you can take on feedback and things like that, or maybe we give you feedback during the interview and you don't take that on, maybe fight it a little bit. That's not what we want. We want to have people that have a growth mindset and are ready to work with us to accelerate Databricks and accelerate their career at the same time. Aside from that, obviously we want someone who has not sales experience but does have the communication skills that are going to make a good salesperson. They're natural at building relationships, they're warm, they can sort of a natural tendency to try and close conversations down. So another tip would be, trying to close your interview, making sure that you're asking for feedback at the end. Have I been successful? Do you have any concerns? That sort of thing. Outside of that, we obviously want people who have performed highly in things. Again, it doesn't have to be as an SDR or BDR, but someone who has a track record of achieving at things, someone who's determined to succeed. That might be academic, it might be sporting, it might be in some professional experience as well. There's plenty of examples.
Epic. That's great. In terms of the average tenure, how long do you expect an SDR to stay in the role for, and potentially how long would it take for them to get promoted to the next step, and what does that look like within Databricks? Obviously, I think the market conditions is probably changing and change things. You know, I've spoken to other SDR managers and they're saying SDRs are now going to be in the role for another 6 to 12 months because of the economic uncertainty. But how long would you expect someone to be in a role for? And then, you know, what do you see the trends in the market at the moment?
Yeah, typically around 18 months, I would say on average, most of those people would be going into account exec roles. We're always trying to think of ways that we can help people get there. So if we're looking at things that we're doing right now, we started something called the Growth Team, basically creating another account exec position, exclusively focused on customers who've just started using Databricks. We see an opportunity there to provide a little bit more of a customer experience, you know, really guide them through that process of starting to get set up on the platform. Right now, we're leaving probably too many people to sort of figure out for themselves, which for a technical product is confusing. So that's one thing that we're looking at. And we'll also look at, you know, how we improve sort of the pathways and training available to those looking to get to that next step into next year. That's something we've already identified as a key priority. In terms of how I view the market, there's a lot going on at the moment. It's just yesterday I saw Microsoft letting 11K people go or something like that. I think we're in a pretty strong position at Databricks. The data and AI market is growing very quickly. The amount of data in the cloud is doubling every 3 years. And the amount of data in the cloud is essentially our market. Every type of industry wants to use data to drive some sort of business efficiency. So we feel that we are in a strong position to weather the storm, be resilient, and continue growing a business.
Well, and what would the day in the life of an SDR under your wing look like in terms of, you know, 9 to 5 KPIs? You know, how many emails, how many calls would they be expected to do? Do you mind just going into a bit of color regarding that as well?
Yeah, so I think from a sort of standpoint of, you know, where are you getting your opportunities from? We've got a pretty healthy inbound funnel. You're probably expecting at least sort of 30 or 40% of your opportunities to come through there. In terms of activity metrics, around sort of 20 to 30 calls per day, nothing too massive. We really want to have a quality over quantity metric for, you know, the way of managing our business. Nice. We want people to be personalized, we want people to be thoughtful, and we want people to run high quality, impactful meetings with new business customers. Outside of that, we do look at the email and LinkedIn statistics a little bit, not quite as much. Meetings, I always tell BDRs, if you book 3 a day and you have 3 a day, you're going to be in a good spot. You could probably get away with a little bit less, frankly.
Well, that's interesting. And how do you track, out of interest, LinkedIn metrics?
So that would be just using, we have a LinkedIn step in our outreach sequences, and we use that. I think it's just listed as other, but that's the only other one that we use outside of calling and emailing.
Cool. That's great to hear that firms like yourselves are, you know, in that 30 to 40 calls range, because I think lots of people get put off tech sales and sales in general because they think they're going to be in a, you know, a sweatshop punching out 100 to 200 calls a day. So one for the listeners to bear in mind, you know, obviously sales is hard and it's tough, and you're going to be very active, but at the same time you're not going to be calling 200 300 people a day typically as an SDR. Great. Any other advice then for people looking to get into the industry? What would you say as a hiring manager, how can they stand out during their applications and interviews?
I think it starts with being really thoughtful and intentional about what you apply for. That's not always a simple thing to do because you might not have a thought to go on. For me, I had a thought that I really wanted to get into data and AI. I was really passionate about the space. I knew that Databricks was the company I wanted to work for, because I really wanted to join like a smaller company that was building up its business. Yeah. But I would advise everyone to have a think about that, because if you're able to approach the interview process in that way, it's far different than just looking at what's out there and just shooting off CVs in a bunch of different directions. You, you're going to be better at selling a product that you're passionate about. If you figure out what that is and you interview for companies that fit that, that passion is going to shine through in the interview process. And it will shine through for the customers as well.
Agreed. And then quickly, regarding your career path, you stepped up into management. Lots of SDRs will go down the account executive route and start closing business. Do you mind just describing, I guess, your path and your journey and how you got into management and how that differentiates to an SDR? Because I think it's quite a less trodden path than, you know, the step up to AE. So do you mind just discussing your journey and I guess maybe your day to day?
Yeah, so I joined very early on with Databricks. Those two SDRs, we started on the same day. And one, we started hiring new BDRs to join the team. I ended up picking some mentorship responsibilities up from there. At that stage, I was pretty sure that I wanted to be an AE. It seemed like the natural thing to do. That's what everyone, you know, says that they want to do. But ended up finding that I found the mentoring very rewarding, you know, watching people go from, you know, not knowing anything about Databricks to being solid performers and getting plenty of opportunities for the company. You know, that was really rewarding for me. I think the other thing that I found is, as that came with some leadership responsibilities, that was really exciting for me as well, because even though I was very young at that stage, I started to be able to sit at the management meetings, you know, with people that have got vast levels of experience in software sales. You know, people like Dave Wyatt, who was the VP of EMEA for Databricks at that time, who had just successfully taken the EMEA region from strength to strength for MuleSoft, who had gone through a successful IPO. Nick Cochran, who had done the same, and Nick Pert, who's the VP of marketing, had just done the same for Zendesk. You know, I was sat there 23 or 24 with these people, and that gave me so much insight into how a software sales team should work, how a software business should be run. And that was like a compression algorithm for my development, I think. So that was really important to me. Started managing the team full time about 6 months after I'd mentored those people. Was a first line manager for about 3 years after that, and then stepped up to second line last year.
Well, amazing. So it seems a bit like going to the crossover with sports, it seems like you were maybe in a pretty elite team, it may be a 5-a-side team or 11-a-side team, learning from, you know, some of the legends of the game. How do you say sales and sports intertwine? And I know you said you're a keen rower growing up. What lessons can you take from sports into, I guess, tech sales and I guess the work you do on a day-to-day basis with your SDRs?
Yeah, there's a lot of crossovers. Every time I speak to an SDR manager within Databricks, outside of Databricks, they all say they love hiring athletes. And it's, I think it's simple reasons that the people that want to win, and are typically, unless it's an individual sport, are, you know, good at working as part of the team, recognize, you know, common and wider objectives. And sport definitely had the same impact on me. Rowing is maybe an extreme version of that. From the ages of 13 to 18, I was doing that, and probably from the ages of 15, I took it very seriously, training, you know, 10, 11, 12 times a week, hundred kilometers or so a week on the ergo or on the water. It was a lot of work, but it definitely taught me to be disciplined, the value of hard work. And teamwork is absolutely integral to rowing. Like, if you're half a beat out of touch with the other people in the boat, boat goes, it becomes unbalanced. Yeah. You don't go as fast. It doesn't feel very good. You lose races. Did rugby at university after that, which I didn't take as seriously as rowing. I at that stage, I was quite injured, frankly, from rowing, and I needed to do something that was a little bit less training, because I thought I'm not going to get a degree if I put as much time into rowing as into rugby rather as I did into rowing. But what I did get from that is, there's a bit more of a social side to rugby, I found, than rowing. Rowing is just all business, basically. At least it was when I was doing it. And I think actually I was a little bit introverted at the start of university, and rugby, you know, the socials and running into people who are steaming down the wing, that taught me some humility, and it taught me to come out of my shell a little bit, I think, as well. And I don't think I would have been a salesperson if I hadn't have done that. I think I would have probably gone into something a little bit more analytical, engineering or something, or consultancy or something.
Well, so it's the rugby socials that actually got you going, maybe indirectly into sales. That's interesting.
I don't know if I can give it all to rugby, but I think it's probably just the university experience as well. Like, you're stepping out of your comfort zone in so many ways. You're studying, you're away from home, you know, living by yourself at times, at least I was, and you're doing the rugby. It helped me to, you know, develop as a human being, I guess.
Makes sense. Awesome. And you touched upon, you know, team spirit or teamwork. You know, as an SDR manager, you know, well, leading up the SDR team, in a remote environment, how do you get a pulse on team morale, team spirit, especially when individuals are working from home? Or, you know, do you come into the office on a daily basis? What's the setup like there, and how do you manage in a remote environment or semi-remote environment?
I think the first step for me is making sure that you create a sense of emotional safety within the team. One of the things that one of my managers does a lot with their team, and something that I've started doing with my direct reports as well, is every time I have a team meeting, we do some icebreakers. So an example we did this week was, you know, tell us one thing that you do when you're not feeling motivated to get yourself back in the mood for things. And those little things, doing those every so often, it helps people, you know, understand, you know, what makes that person tick. We make sure we do a bit of a personal check-in at that time as well. You know, how's your life going, basically? Yes. Which invariably talks, and it's just talking about your weekend a lot of the time. But it's important, because, you know, you're spending an awful lot of time together. And if you don't feel that the people next to you, if you can't trust them, I think that becomes difficult. Outside of that, you know, obviously we're always looking for feedback on the team, on their morale and their culture. They don't always want to speak to managers about it, and I think that's natural. I don't think there's any way of changing that. One of the things we started doing there as well is having like a sort of, not a social secretary, but maybe someone who's responsible for cultural feedback within that team. Who, if you know, you don't want to speak to a manager about it, you can speak to a fellow BDR, and they'll speak to us about it, and you know, keep it anonymous from there.
Awesome. Yeah, I think having that human element is so important, especially this day and age. I think maybe in the past it can be swept under the rug, but just having that check-in time and just checking on how people's life outside the office is going is super, super important. Awesome. So what's next for yourself then in the next, you know, couple of months, couple of years? Where do you see yourself in the industry going? It's probably quite a big question. I don't think it's one you prep for, but, you know, it's quite interesting to hear.
Yeah, I think I'm in a rather blessed position, because I haven't needed to change my job or do an interview since I interviewed for the manager position way back in the day. The job has got bigger as the team has got bigger and as Databricks has grown as a business. And I don't really have any ambitions to change that at this stage. I'm having a lot of fun still. The team's been really successful over the last few years. I think we've got a great reputation, a great culture, specifically within the EMEA sales development team. That is known throughout the EMEA business, but also the wider company. So I'm having a lot of fun. No plans to change that soon. What we are doing, as I mentioned at the start, is starting to include some new roles and new areas of responsibility for the team as we continue to grow. So, you know, and this growth team that we're building up to help our early stage customers better adopt Databricks, that's something that's new for us. But we will always do whatever helps the business grow quickly and helps young people develop their career quickly too.
Love it. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Roman. With that, I think we'll wrap. What's the best place for people to reach out to you and contact you? Is it LinkedIn or?
Yeah, LinkedIn. You can find me, Roman Thompson. Just updated my new profile photo after my BDRs were bugging me about my really old one that I had there. So if you see a smiley looking gent in a black and white photo, you'll know you're in the right place.
Good stuff. Thanks so much for coming on, Roman. All the best, and yeah, we'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Speak soon.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.